Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is administering a web server using the WebSphere Application Server Administrative Console. Today's presenters are Alan Cohen and Bob Richter. Alan is an advisory software engineer in L2 support for IBM HTTP Server Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. Alan has worked in the department supporting IHS since July 2007. Bob is an advisory software engineer in L2 support for IBM HTTP Server and WebSphere plugin. Bob worked in L3 since November 2008. Prior to this, he worked in WebSphere development. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Alan and Bob.
Thank you, Joseph. This is Bob Richter, and I'd like to start off on the second slide. The agenda for this presentation will include important terminology, creating a web server definition for the WebSphere administration console, setup and configuration of the IBM administration server, operational considerations for running web server administration, web server administration functions, and tips and troubleshooting. I'll be handling the first four, and my colleague Alan Cohen will be handling the web server administration functions and the tips and troubleshooting. Please move to slide 3. Terminology. There are two types of nodes in WebSphere, managed and unmanaged. A managed node is a node that includes a node agent. The node agent manages all servers on the node, the WebSphere application server, the JMS server, the web server, and a generic server. An unmanaged node does not have a node agent. The WebSphere base administration server is an unmanaged node, sometimes referred to as a standalone node. It does not have a node agent. Please move to slide 4. This is an image of a web server administered through a managed node and an unmanaged node in a network deployment environment. The web servers in blue are administered through the DMGR by the admin console GUI or by the WS admin command line. The web server mbean sends administration requests to either a node agent on the managed node or to an unmanaged node running the IBM administration server. Notice that the node agent in the clear white box and the IBM administration server and also the other clear white box run as separate processes from the web server. Please move to slide 5. In order to administer the web server, we need to create a web server definition in the WebSphere repository. There are three ways to do this. One is through a plugin install script, which we'll talk about later. Two, through the WebSphere administration console wizard. Three, through some WS admin commands. Please move to slide 6. The plugin install process will generate a script or a bat file with a default name of configure web server 1. This script will contain all the associated plugin properties captured during the plugin install. Execute this script or bat file from the dmgr/bin directory to create a web server definition for the WebSphere repository. The second way to create a web server definition through the WebSphere is through the WebSphere administration console wizard from the web server collection panel. You can get to this panel through the WebSphere task management link, servers, web servers, and then you would click the new button. Please move to slide 7. The third method to create a web server definition for the WebSphere repository is through the WS admin command line. There are two commands in WSAdmin that will create a web server definition. Admin task create web server and admin task create web server by host name. Both commands have an interactive option which will prompt you for all the command arguments. The other form of the commands listed here are listed here with their minimum required arguments. You might wonder why there are two commands. One command, create web server, takes a node agent as input. The other command, create web server by host name, takes host name, port, and platform as input. The reason for this is to accommodate the ND and the base environments. The concept of node is not really applicable to WebSphere-based application environment, so create web server by host name uses the host name, port, and platform as input. In the ND environment, the command create web server uses an existing node or a newly created unmanaged node from the task management link, system environment, nodes, and then clicking add. Please move to the next slide. Now this slide, this may be a little bit out of the scope of this presentation, but if you're interested in WSAdmin command syntax in general, you can enable a command assist notification in the WebSphere administration console. And the WebSphere administration console will display the command syntax of any operation that you perform, such as submitting the submit button. This option is enabled through the task management system environment console preferences. Please move to slide 9. For web servers defined to an unmanaged node, the IBM administration server is required. There are a few setup and configuration considerations for the IBM administration server. All these steps are handled for you in IHS 6.1 and 7.0 install panels. We're listing these steps here to aid in understanding the environment. The IBM administration server has authentication enabled by default in the admin.conf, which is the administration configuration file. But the authentication file and admin.password is shipped and installed as an empty file. This is to ensure that a valid user ID and password is set up by our customers and eliminates any exposure from shipping well-known user IDs and passwords. To configure authentication for the IBM administration server, you execute the HTPassword utility using the syntax on this foil. The HTPassword utility is found in the web server bin directory, and the admin.password file is found in the conf directory of IHS. Please move to slide 10. These next setup and configuration steps are for Unix only. All these steps are handled through the web server and plugin install. Three things have to take place on Unix for setup and config of the administration server. One, we need to create a unique Unix group and associated user. Two, the admin.conf, the user and group directives in it, are modified to run the administration server. So the user and group directives in admin.conf are modified by the ones that we created in the first step. Three, the file permissions and group ownership of the http.conf and the plugin config.xml are modified to allow group write permissions. So all three of those things need to take place on Unix for proper setup and config. An alternative method is to use the setup ADM script after installation will perform these same steps. Please move to slide 11. There are some operational considerations for managing the IBM HTTP server through the IBM administration server on Unix. The IBM administration server must be started as root. There are two reasons. The first reason is in order to create a Unix domain socket for intra-process communication between the child process and the administration server root process. The location of this socket file can be configured through the directive admin socket file in the IBM administration configuration file, admin.conf. Please move to slide 12. The second reason why the IBM administration server must be started as root is to be able to start the IBM HTTP server as root. The IBM administration server launches the IBM HTTP server from its own root process. Any IBM HTTP server that starts with a port of less than 1024 must be started as root. So therefore, the administration server must be started as root in order to be able to start the associated web server. In addition, the IBM administration server must be root to issue a SIG user for termination of the web server. Please move to slide 13. Now, those were considerations for running the IBM administration server. There are some operational considerations for managing the web server through the WebSphere node agent on a managed node. Since the node agent will modify the plugin config.xml and the http.conf, the node agent must have write permissions for the plugin cfg.xml and the http.com. Since the node agent will launch the process that runs the web server, the node agent must be running as root if the web server is expected to run as root. Any web server, again, that runs with a port of less than 1024 must be started as root, and therefore the node agent that launches that web server must be started as root. A node agent can manage a web server running as non-root, but it's recommended that the node agent and the web server be installed using the same ID. This is particularly important for Unix. As long as the node agent has the right permissions to the plugin config.xml and the http.conf and the port is greater than 1024, the node agent may run as non-root and it may be able to manage the IBM HTTP server. Now, my colleague Alan Cullen will take you through the web server administration functions and tips in troubleshooting. Please go to slide 14.
Greetings. My name is Alan, and I want to talk about some of the functions of the web server administration. You can use it to generate the plugin configuration file, propagate the file, check on web server status, start and stop the IBM web server, and view and edit the httpd.conf file, the IBM HTTP server configuration file, and view log files. If any of the buttons are grayed out, it may indicate that the web server doesn't support that functionality or it's not an IBM web server. Please move to page 15. Probably the most used functionality is the plugin generation. And the default is to auto-generate the plugin. And normally this is done after you map the web server to the application. Important that you map the web server, otherwise there's nothing to propagate. It won't propagate properly. And the plugin XML file is generated to the web server directory in the web server depository indicated below. Page 16. You can propagate the plugin configuration file of selected web servers. You can propagate to all web servers on a managed node, all web servers when DManager is located with the web server, only an IBM HTTP server, and an unmanaged node. And propagation is to the install plugin location derived from the install directory for plugin, /config, web server 1, and the name is plugin-cfg.xml. Next slide, please, 17, please. One of the other functions that you can, that's provided by the WASP, the Web Server Administration, is to determine the status of the web server, whether it's running or not. And so the status is determined by direct socket connection to the target web server. And it's not dependent on the IBM administration server or the node agent. And the address that's used as the endpoint for the web server that the application server is trying to connect to is found in the server index.xml file. And you can determine whether the server is running or stopped or unavailable, which could indicate that the host name cannot be resolved or the IP address is not valid, among other things. Please move to page 18. You can start and stop an IBM HTTP server. On a managed node, the node agent must be running, and on an unmanaged node, you must have the IBM administration server running. Slide 19, please. On an IBM HTTP server, you can view the httpd.com file and edit it. Of course, permissions must be set up correctly, as were explained earlier. And you can also view the IHS log files. Page 19, please, slide 19. Some of the things you can do if this isn't working correctly, if you can't get the web server to start or stop through the administration console, you might want to start or stop from a command line and see if the problem changes. It's helpful when doing problem determination later on. So from a command line, you can start and stop IHS by using the command indicated, start server.bat, web server 1, profile name. And currently this doesn't work for an unmanaged node. It only works for a managed node. Slide 21, please. On an unmanaged node, you can use the, from a WS admin directory, you can use the following commands to start and stop an IHS server. Page 22, please, slide 22. And if you run into problems, we have the typical IBM US gathers. There's a link on this page. Slide 23, please. And these are the character of the logs that we would need to want to look at when trying to determine where the problem is. We want to look at the D-manager logs, the node agent logs on a managed node. In an unmanaged node, the D-manager logs and the IBM HTTP servers logs, admin access log, admin error log. And what you'd probably want to do prior to looking at these logs is edit the admin.conf and set the log level to debug, restart the web server, and then view the admin error log to see if you see such things as password authentication errors, which might indicate that something is wrong with HTTP password file that you created earlier, as was described earlier. Page 24, please. And on this slide are some of the additional trace options that you can set in the application server to diagnose different problems. These are set as you normally would through the administration console. Slide 25. On this slide are just some of the trace settings that you would use if you're having plug-in propagation and generation problems. And I should say, for both of these cases, there's additional must-gathers on the IBM website and later on in this presentation that would be helpful to review. Page 26, slide 26, please. So some of the things you really want to do just to start out is make sure the node agent is running if you're running on a managed node. And on an unmanaged node, you want to make sure the IBM administration server is running and verify the host name and ports are accessible, are correctly defined and accessible from the application server. You can view the log, admin error log, and admin access log in the IHS logs folder to determine if you can what errors might be occurring. You might see simply password errors that would indicate something wrong with HTTP password file. And then normally, as in all network-connected devices, you'd want to verify the firewall is not a problem and that the web server is listening on the ports that you believe it, that it is. Slide 27. This is just sort of a summary of what we just discussed. So some normal issues that come up are that the web server is being blocked by a firewall, that the IBM administrator server really isn't started, or the password isn't been defined correctly, and that the web server is just defined incorrectly in the application server's setup. Slide 28, please. And this is a list of some useful must-gathers and tech notes that we've published on the IBM website you might be interested in taking a look at.
Thank you, Bob and Alan, for a great presentation. At this point, Sherry, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Marlon and Penny, your line is open.
Hey, this is Marlon from AT&T. I have a quick question for you. I want to know, do you have any best practices link, or do you have any best practices information for us on this call?
This is Bob. I would, from a best practice standpoint, do you mean relative to the administration server itself?
No, just whatever you have spoken from the IHS administration from WebSphere under managed and unmanaged. Do you have any recommendations for the best practices?
No, we actually don't, other than the links there at the end of the presentation.
Okay, thanks. That's all I have.
Rav Kamirkata from Nationwide Insurance, your line is open.
Hi. How do we disable this auto-generate of the plugin? Is there a way we can do that or no?
Can you repeat that question again?
How can we disable the auto-generate?
Ah, okay. The easiest way to do it is to go into the web server collection panel, servers and web servers. And on the right-hand side, there's an additional property called plugin properties. And right in the middle of that panel, there'll be two checkboxes that say auto-propagate and auto-generate. And you just uncheck them and then save it.
Actually, I'm checking on the admin console that has the admin server, IHS admin server. So can you repeat that one more time?
Okay. Are you in the WebSphere administration console?
Yes.
Okay. You go to the, on the task management side, the left-hand side, go to servers.
Yes.
And then web servers.
Yes.
And if you have a web server defined, click on it.
Yes.
And on the right-hand side, you should see plugin properties.
Yeah, plugin properties, yes.
And click on that, and in the middle of the page, you should see two checkboxes.
Oh, okay. I see that. Thank you.
And I guess I would recommend that they would not be auto-generated and auto-propagated. That would be my recommendation.
Okay, thank you.
At this time, I have no questions.
Thank you, Sherry. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.